We worship you. We thank you for your tangible presence. Thank you for inhabiting our praise and our worship. As we enter the word, we ask that, Lord God, the same unction and anointing go with us. Open our eyes that we may behold great and wondrous things out of your word. Anoint me afresh that I speak even as an oracle of God. And put the same unction upon the ears and the hearts and the eyes of all who will hear me. Those who are physically present here, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, submitted to your revealed will, emotions to be more, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray, as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and releasing all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful. I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, this afternoon, today is the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And in this time, the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ stood in the temple. And he cried saying, the Bible says, in the last, that great day of the feast, turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 7. And we're looking at verses 37 and 38. In the last day, I didn't hear you, that great day of the feast, turn to your neighbor and say, that day is today. Jesus stood and cried saying, say, pastor is standing and he's crying. Say, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But, verse 39, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, Jesus did this at the Feast of Tabernacles in the temple in Jerusalem, but the fulfillment didn't come until the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And so even today, the Holy Spirit has been poured out in a measure, but the Spirit is yet to be poured out in what we call the Spirit without measure, at the same level that it was in the life and the ministry of Jesus. Here, it says that it didn't happen at that time because Jesus had not yet been glorified. In other words, Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead. Today, God is working in us to fill our mortal bodies with the life of God, which the Apostle Paul likens to a resurrection. It's not a literal resurrection like what will happen at the rapture, but is a resurrection of the of the life of God being made in our mortal flesh. Some time ago, I preached a message called The Resurrection in Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, who is the father of our faith, The Bible tells us that when he was 99 years old, God appeared to him and told him he was going to have a son. Now, he already had a son, Ishmael. So he thought that was what God was talking about. God said, no, in Isaac shall your seed be called. And he said, you know, I mean, we've been here 25 years. Nothing has happened. So God said, circumcise yourself. And at the time of life, I will return. That is 9 months, you know, and Sarah will have a son. And literally what happened was that there was a rejuvenation of the bodies of Abraham and Sarah. In other words, the life of God came into their physical bodies. It was a physical miracle and renewed their youth and their strength so that Abraham could produce the sperm, you know, Sarah could produce the egg that was fertilized, and she could conceive. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, and Sarah received strength to conceive. And so, in the same way today, God is giving life, Zoe, to our mortal bodies to put in us or create in us, if I can use that expression, a kind of resurrection that will then bring in this glory of which we speak. I'd like you to go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Paul describes this. Paul saw it by revelation. He did not experience it, but he saw it by revelation and wrote it, recorded it, so that we, the 42nd, the end time generation, will see it and then enter into it. In Philippians in chapter 3, and he says, I will read two verses to start with. Verses 10 and 11, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. In other words, I'm going to become like Jesus. Now, Jesus was crucified on the physical cross, but I'm going to use the power of the Holy Spirit and the life of God to crucify the sin nature and its lusts in my soul and body and flush them out, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He's not talking here about the resurrection at the rapture. He's talking about what I just spoke about that happened in Abraham and Sarah. He's talking about the life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says this same thing in verses 10 and 11. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Same thing he said in Philippians, where it says, you know, that I may be conformable unto his death. In other words, I'm dying, you know, by the Spirit. I'm using the Spirit, the power of the life of God and the Spirit of God, to crucify the nature of sin in my flesh. So he says, always bearing about in the dying of the Lord Jesus, that's I'm being conformable to his death, that the life of Jesus might be made what? Manifest where? In our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. We're doing this because of Jesus. That the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Observe, Paul put the thing in the future. He said that. He hadn't got there yet. So if we go back to Philippians, and we go back to that verse 11. Now in verse 12, he explains it. This is great apostolic teaching and revelation. Not as though I had already attained. In other words, I haven't got it yet. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. Follow after who? Jesus. I'm going to keep crucifying my flesh. I'm going to keep flushing out the sin nature in my soul and body. If that,
I didn't hear you.
I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus has already purchased this for me. He's purchased it for me legally by his death and resurrection, his death on the cross and his resurrection. Now, I want to apprehend it in my experience. I want to bring it into today's experiential knowledge. And so what I'm doing is I'm talking about Olubi Johnson now. I now am just mimicking Jesus. I'm crying according to the Feast of Tabernacles, the type. He said, if any man is thirsty for this glory, for this perfection, then let him come unto me, not of course, not unto Olubi, but unto the Lord Jesus, you know, and drink. For out of his belly will flow rivers of living water that will now cause the life of God to be made manifest in his mortal body. You see, it is the life of God that is manifest in the mortal body that produces the creative healings and miracles that we see in the ministry of Jesus as recorded and typified all over the four Gospels, but in two particular places it was summarized. Go to Luke chapter 6. We're going to come back to Philippians. Go to this. I am preaching totally by the Spirit. I don't have notes. God said, just start from that John 7, which is exactly what I've done. You know, he said, because today, well, today is actually the seventh day. The Feast of Tabernacles actually has 8 days. You know, we're going to go there in a minute in the book of Leviticus. The first day was a convocation, and the 8th day was also Sabbath. Today is actually the 7th. In modern day Israel, you know, they've turned everything to religion. You know, they do Sukkot. They call it Sukkot. The word Sukkot just means hut. It means tabernacle. You know, they will build huts, you know, with palm trees and all of that. So during the 7 days, they won't live in their physical houses. You see that if you go to Israel today, you'll see it. Everybody will be, you know, not everybody, but the religious Jews, they will stay inside a hut. And then you do that for 7 days until the 8th day. So today is actually the 7th day. And so I am just proclaiming this prophetic truth for its present today manifestation. And so let's look at Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at, we're talking about the life of God being made manifest in the mortal. This is what Paul, he saw it. And James and John and all these guys, they saw it, but they pursued it. But in their own generation and their own lifetime, they never experienced it. But I thank God they recorded it and put it down so that we, the end time generation, will be able to see it. Verse 19 of chapter 6. In fact, let's read from verse 17 so you get the full context. He says, and he, don't you never say, who is he? The Lord Jesus Christ. Came down with them and stood in the plain. Oh, I didn't hear you. And the company of his disciples and a small multitude. You know, when we read scripture, we have to read very carefully. And a small multitude of people out of all Judea, Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. You know, in recent times, I've been doing something. Whenever I'm reading my Bible, you see, that's why I broke the Bible, the three-year Bible reading plan, into small segments. So usually it's about 10, 13 verses a day, ending between 7 and 13 verses every day. Nothing much. So that you can have time to... I'm not reading it for information. I already know what it says mentally. I'm reading it for revelation. And in recent times, when I say in recent times, I'm talking about in the last 6 months, a year, what I said, many times I will stop. Those people say, stop, go to the map. My Bible here, you know, it has, I've got about two or three maps. You know, Jesus in the map in the time of Jesus, the map in the time of Paul, the missionary journeys. So I go and start looking at the map. So in my mind now, I have the map. Tyre and Sidon is to the northeast. Jerusalem is down here. When you say Judea, Judea is the region around Jerusalem. Let me use Nigeria because it's contextual. Ibadan, for instance, Oyo State is the place around Ibadan. So Judea was like the region around Jerusalem. But this Tyre and Sidon was far in those days to them. Even today, you still get at least an hour or two, you know, by car. If you were in Israel, you know, you'd have to travel up and then go to the left. You know, it's there are cities on the sea coast. You know, so I can appreciate what he's saying here. He says, and from the sea coast, I didn't hear him, of Tyre and Sidon, which came. That is a great multitude. These people all came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Verse 19. And the whole multitude. Oh my God, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. We have to inherit this hope. And the whole, it wasn't five people. We know a multitude is about 5,000, you know, using the estimate of the, when he fed the 5,000, about the multitude. This one didn't say multitude, it's a great multitude. So you're looking at 15,000, 20,000. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. Why? For there went what? Virtue out of him and healed. I didn't hear you. Don't be afraid of reading the scripture. Read it. Let's start again. Let's all read it together. You know, unbelief is a terrible thing. Everybody say, God help my unbelief. And the whole, don't your neighbor say, 20,000 people about. Multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed. You know why? His body was not an insulator. That's what he meant. That's what Paul meant. That the life of God, the life, it was flowing. So all the anybody who came within a radius, that virtue just came out. This is not word of wisdom. It's not word of knowledge. It's not even gifts of healings. This is not gifts of the Spirit. This Spirit without measure. And that is the call of the Feast of Tabernacles today. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Virtues. Rivers of virtue. So that is the 2022 application, fulfillment of that scripture. When Jesus was speaking about it, he was talking about Pentecost that was coming. Today, we're not just talking about, we've already got Pentecost. We're not talking about Pentecost. We're talking about this. Look at Mark chapter 6, and then we're going to go back to Philippians. Mark chapter 6. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, Jesus, help me. Now, these scriptures do not cease to amaze me, honey. Let's read from verse 53. I could read verse 56 in isolation, but since I'm preaching and teaching, this is an apostolic preaching and teaching, you know, let me make it contextual, you know. And when they passed over, excuse me, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, I didn't hear you. Straightway, they knew him out. They recognized him. And ran through the whole region round about. And began to carry about in beds those that were sick when they heard where they heard he was. And whithersoever, everybody scream it. Say it. I told you, everybody say, Oyo, Ibadan. He's saying, Ogumaki, Abeokuta, Lagos, Kano, Enugu, Calabar, Ijebu. They don't want to be left out. But I'm serious. There's a reason why I want to share this scripture in here, because I'm fulfilling the present day application of the Feast of Tabernacles. That's what I've been commanded to do today. Because today is similar to the last day. It's not exactly the last day. It's the seventh day, you know. But it's this, that we are gathered in church. So we're in the temple now, because the temple is the church now. You know, and I'm doing exactly what Jesus did. I am opening my voice. That day when Jesus said it, nothing happened. And John explained by putting it in parentheses. He said, but you know, the Spirit was not, he spoke of the Spirit, you know, but it hadn't happened because Jesus was not yet glorified. So then we know that, you know, about 2.5 years later, because this is about the middle of the Jesus' ministry, you know, on the day of Pentecost, then it happened. You know, so in the same kind of way, I'm declaring, I'm crying a prophetic voice, trumpet, you know, of what God is saying. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, for out of his belly will flow rivers of living, rivers of virtue that will go into his mortal body, and it will go out for the healing of the nations. Are you listening to me? And whithersoever, observe that this thing is not... it's not a choreographed. It's not a. It's not planned for a particular environment. It's not just going to happen in church, or in a crusade, or in the stadium, or in Shiloh, or in some camp meeting. The thing is going to follow you around, because you see, it's not. It's not man generated. Is God generated. So whithersoever. Everybody scream it. Oh, I didn't hear you. He entered. Watch this. Into villages. Like a shure. I had to pull my wife's leg. Or cities. Like Ibadan. Or country. Like a state. Or your state. Ogun State, Lagos State, Enugu State, you know, Kano State, Borno State, Zamfara. That will be the equivalent interpretation of this scripture. Notice, everybody say village, say city, say country. That's what it means, you know, talked about regions. They laid the sick in the streets. This is not a controlled environment. Like some of our people do, and then they say it's fake miracles. They go and hire people who are sick. You know, it used to happen. Yeah. I remember somebody sharing with my wife and I many, many years ago now. Said, I don't mind them, you know. He said, we know all the tricks that they play. The person who was talking was a pastor. And he was confessing, you know, to another pastor who was telling my wife and I, it's a true story. He said, don't mind them. He said, we know how to do it. He said, we'll go and hire people, give them money, and they'll come to the crusade with wheelchair. They went to the message, they'll now get up and say they are healed, and people will give offering. They have blasphemed the name of God. This is the real thing. I heard another story. I'm not going to mention the names. I'll just give you the principle of a very big man of God who was doing miracles. You know, he was an evangelist and he had some some miracles in ministry, but not too much.
But he had some.
So he went somewhere, and one of the people in authority said to him, he said, I have a son or a ward. I don't know if it's actually his son, who had a mental problem and was really sick. He said, if truly you have this anointing, come and pray for this boy so he will be healed. He couldn't do it. And you know what the man said? He said, from that time, I didn't take any of those people seriously. Why should the heathen say, where is our God? There's no shortcut to this thing. So he said, and whithersoever he entered, let's say it again, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. Everybody screamed the last part. This is no word of wisdom. How many word of wisdom do you want to get? This is no word of knowledge. This is spirit without measure in operation. That is what the Feast of Tabernacles is to fulfill now. Let's go back to Philippians. Philippians, going back to chapter 3, we were in verse 11. And Paul said, verse 13. So Paul now says, Paul had this revelation. All these things I've told you now. Paul had it. Not only Paul, Peter had it. James had it. John had it. Peter wrote in 2 Peter, he said that if you do these things, you will never fall. Add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience to patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness. If these things be you and abound, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. James says, count it all joy. Says, when you find David says, temptations and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. John says, God is love. Whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. He went on to say, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. These men, they saw. That's where I got all the stuff from. I didn't pick it from the air. It was through the scripture. So from the scripture, these men described, he said, in him truly is the love of God perfected. They had a glimpse of it. They experienced a little of it, not much in their time. They saw the sick healed. They saw the dead raised. Honey, I find it very instructive. And I know God did it deliberately in order to instruct us, and inspire us to this higher ground. That in the Acts of the Apostles, we only have two accounts of people raised from the dead. Dorcas with Peter in Acts chapter 9, and Paul in Acts chapter 19-20 in Ephesus, when he was preaching and the boy fell down, and he died, but he was dead for just maybe a few minutes. And Paul said, don't worry, his life is in him. And Paul didn't pray. He just laid on him. So there was a transference of life. So they tasted it. The same thing with Peter. Peter did what Jesus did, because he remembered what Jesus did with Jairus' daughter. So when he got there and they said, oh, this woman was such a nice woman, they showed him all the clothes she used to make and help the poor. The Bible says he told all of them to get out. Just like Jesus. But it wasn't at this level of Jesus. The Bible says he knelt down and prayed. We're not told how long he prayed for. Whether it was 5 minutes, 10 minutes, we're not told. Then he turned to the body and said, Talitha, arise. And she arose. But It was only those two incidents. The whole of the Acts of the Apostles. In other words, it wasn't happening like this. That's why Paul said, I count not myself. I've raised the dead. He healed the man at Lystra who was lame from his mother's womb. I've done that. He said, yet I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. I didn't hear you. Oh, hallelujah, everybody. I said, this one thing I do. Forgetting. I'm forgetting Lystra. I'm forgetting that boy I raised from the dead. I want Jesus. I want the Spirit without measure. This is an Olubi Johnson paraphrase. You understand? Forgetting those, I reach. But they died. They didn't get there. But they wrote it and they recorded it. So that you and I, this 42nd generation, will manifest these things in Jesus' name. I reach. And reaching forth. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. What's wrong with your mouth? Unto those things which are before. What is before me? The spirit without measure. I press toward the mark for the prize. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is a prize. It's a reward. It's not a gift. The gifts of the Spirit are gifts. And indeed they are. You know, God will just bring that spirit out, measure, just, and then 5 minutes later he takes it because they're not mature enough to handle it. I always use this example. It's one of the funny, it's a funny example, but it's the truth. You know, the donkey had workings of miracles. Balaam's donkey. How many people remember Balaam? He had a donkey, and the prophet was mad because of money. So God, the Holy Ghost, came upon the donkey. Hello? And spoke through the donkey's mouth. Donkeys normally don't talk. So that's workings of miracles. Are you listening to me? And the donkey spoke and said, all these years I've been carrying you. You know? To forbear, to try and curtail the greed. The covetousness, the madness of the prophet. You know? And then after that, donkey didn't talk anymore. Because it's still a donkey. The gifts of the Spirit didn't change the donkey. The gifts of the Spirit won't change you. Like we, Papa Ralph preached, and we've also preached so many times over the years. God can use you without making you. A lot of our people today are just being used. They're not being made. But this one, God wants to make you. So that it won't just be a once in a while the donkey talking. It's wherever. It's a permanent anointing. Wherever. Whithersoever he went. Eshure. Lagos. Kano. Calabar. Enugu. Los Angeles. San Francisco. London. Dubai, Istanbul, whithersoever, it will flow. Multitudes will be healed. That will bring the nations to their knees. And the day of its fulfillment is now. It has come upon us now. Hallelujah. I press toward the mark for this prize or this reward. Of the, this is not the calling of God. It's the high calling of God. The ordinary calling of God is to go to heaven. But this one is the high calling of God. To inherit the Spirit without measure. Verse 15. Let us. He's now appealing to the brethren. And I'm saying the same thing to us now. Therefore, as many as be perfect. Stop! Stop, Paul. I thought you just told me 2 verses ago that you are not perfect. He just said it. He said, not as though I was already perfect. Yet is now. So there are two perfections. See, this is the problem when people don't read the Bible revelation. Then they get all mixed up. There are two different Greek words. But the Greek is not, you can even know the Greek and not know the revelation. The Greek word is not the important thing. The important thing is the spirit behind it. One is talking about maturity. The other is talking about the perfection of Christ, wherein the life of God is made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul had not got the first one, but he had got the second one. He had the maturity. Are you understanding me? It's very important these things become clear to us. Let us, therefore, as many as be prepared, as many as are mature, be thus minded. Now, all of us should have this same mind. This is what all of us should be pressing towards. Stop being satisfied with mediocre Christianity. Mediocre. We are used to, I said this the other day when I was preaching about E.W. Kenyon. Sin has made us workers. Grace will make us trusters. We are used to the crumbs from the table, whereas we should be on sitting on the table. We get a few crumbs, like the Syrophoenician woman, and we get a little bit of healing, get a little bit of deliverance, and we are satisfied with that. Whereas you should be on the table. You should not be eating crumbs. You should be eating the main meal. You are a child of the King. I love that song Bidemi sang, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Can it be that a stranger of nations should be a part of the royal line? Can it be that our blood is the same? Your love is so wonderful that the branches were broken and I grafted into the vine. What was once secret is now known because the veil has been parted. It's available now. What was secret? The Shekinah. They couldn't get in the Old Testament. There was a veil. But Jesus has broken it. So you and I can now go and get the very Shekinah glory of God and then take it with us wherever. Take it to Eshure, take it to Ijebu, take it to Zamfara, take it to London, take it to Paris, take it to Pyongyang in North Korea. Yes. Take it to Beijing. All of them have people who are not healed. Who doesn't want to get healed? I was talking to somebody recently, you know, and I was telling him about some problems that I had, you know, not me, Olubi, but, you know, in my mom's family, you know. Every family has a story, you know, so they just won't tell you, you know. And he was saying, I said, Pastor, it's true. You know, he said, even in my own family too, there's such and such and such and such. I said, it's a statistical thing. You know, we were discussing about this issue. There was a man who was born blind and just passed by. Then Jesus spat on the ground. He mixed the dust with his spit, made it like a paste. Then he put it on the boy's eyes, the man's eyes. He's an old, he wasn't a small boy. He was probably in his 30s or 40s. He said, you should go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The Bible says the boy went and he washed and he came seeing. People didn't believe. You know, but that's not the problem. But they asked him a question. They said, who sinned? Was it this man? Or was it his parents? What caused this kind of problem? And you know, it's in every family. It's in every family. You know, you have one person that had one problem. Some will have mental. Some will have, you know, deformed leg or deformed hand. So I now was explaining to this person, I said, the Bible is true. It wasn't the man that sinned. It wasn't his parents that sinned. Who sinned? Adam sinned. And this man's sickness is a consequence of the statistical interference of the sin nature in humanity. It just happened to be. Now, of course, there may be other extraneous factors, you know, like, you know, all kinds of things, you know. But that's it. You know, it's not because, if because it's sin, all of us should be like that. All of us, our parents sinned. In fact, David said we were all born in sin and shaping iniquities. All of us should have been born blind or lame. I tell you what, the reason why those things don't happen is because of the mercy of God. God's mercy is always, every day. The Bible says his mercies are new. It's true. When you look at people like me, for example, my parents were not born again. They didn't know God. They didn't know anything. My mother was involved in a car accident just before I was. That's why they called me Olubi. You know, this one was born of God. It was my grandfather who gave me that name. You know, there was no prayer. There was no covering. They weren't going to church. How did I survive? Mercy. How did you survive? Mercy. That's the truth. But because the heavens belong to God and the earth is given to the sons of men, there are times, there are situations for every, we know this in, if you did statistics, you go to a manufacturer's, you know, and they produce 1 million items from a factory production line. You will find that there will always be, like, in every 3,000 or 10,000, you have one or two of them with defects. Then all that won't be fine. It's a statistical thing. Satan, he keeps trying. Most of the time, he doesn't get through. But occasionally, he does get through. That's why God has sent you and I to heal the sick and to bind the brokenhearted and to set the liberty, the captive free. All of us have problems, but not all of us, our problems are as magnified because of the sin nature. That's what happened. That man was just a victim of the statistical interference of Satan through Adam's sin. If somebody sinned, Adam did. But it wasn't his parents. It wasn't the man himself. So in the same way, that's why Jesus came. That's what he came to do. All the people who have suffered from statistical interference of Satan, he came to set them free. Can you imagine a great multitude from Tyre and Sidon? These, they're not Jews. The Jews were Judea, Jerusalem, you know, Galilee. These other people, that's why it's a Syrophoenician. These people came from, but they came and they got healed. God has sent you and I to go and set the captives free, to heal the nations. And so, in this day of the Feast of Tabernacles, I'm just doing what Jesus did. I'm crying. If any man is thirsty, not just thirsty for be born again, not just thirsty of the Holy Ghost, not just thirsty for the gifts of the Spirit, which we've had to a small degree, you know, not just thirsty for some carnal, you want a wife, you want a husband, you want to pass your exam. There's no sense. There's nothing wrong with those things. I'm not putting them down. But you should be thirsty beyond that. You should be thirsty for this. Thirsty to have the life of God manifest in your mortal flesh. So whithersoever you go, into villages, cities, and country, all they have to do is just touch you. No, there's no time to pray. I can't pray for 10,000 people. You won't stop. So the Bible says virtue went out of him and healed them all. It's coming. Correction is here. Glory be to God. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. See, only mature people can have this kind of mind. And sadly, honey, the great majority of the Christians and the church is not. They're just like the Corinthians and the Hebrews, you know, who by reason of time, watch this, honey, ought to be teachers. In other words, if you've been growing, you should have had the teaching anointing already operating in your life, which would have included the evangelistic and the pastoral. In other words, if you grow, those anointings, Paul says so in that verse. Those anointings are automatically grow inside you. He said, by reason of, you ought to be teachers. But you have somebody come and tell you the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have become like people who have need of milk and not of meat. Same thing with the Corinthians. Sadly, it's the same condition in majority of the church today. We're not hungry for the important things. We're hungry for the unimportant things. Hungry for bread and fish. But strong meat belong on them that are full age. Even those who by reason of, watch the word, use. Another word is practice. Have their senses, the physical senses, the mind, the touching, tasting, hearing, exercise to discern. You will get to the point where even your flesh will reject sin. This is where God is taking the church. This is what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. We sing that song, Lord, pour out your spirit. And there's a verse in it which says, the world is waiting. They're waiting. You will see, it will be a deluge. The people will rush to the church. You won't be able to keep them out. You come here on Sunday, you can't get a seat. It will be filled with people from Oyo and Lagos and Abeokuta. The people in Ibadan won't get a seat because they will think they will get to church in time. And the other people would have left at 6 o'clock and they would have been here. Because they came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Stand to your feet. This is the season. It says, and Jesus stood in the temple. I'm doing that right now. And he cried, say, if any man thirst. I got to give you one more scripture. I don't have any notes. Totally by the Spirit. Look at Isaiah chapter 12. You know, they think Pastor Olubi just opens his mouth and just says this thing. So Pastor Olubi invented life scriptures. How silly. Pastor Olubi, life scriptures were there long before Pastor Olubi was conceived. Look at Isaiah chapter 12 and look at verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the what? Well, that's where we get drawing life from. Look at the next verse. And in that day, don't you never say, that day is this day. This day of the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. And in that day, you shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings. Who shall declare his generation? Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in a few places. Let's talk to God, folks. The whole purpose of this message, it's not too much teaching. It's preaching. It's inspirational. We want this glory to manifest. We want this glory to manifest now. The world is waiting. People are in trouble. Ah, another scripture. Joel chapter 2. I will start with verse 23. See, brethren, the Feast of Tabernacles has three parts. There's the blowing of trumpets, which is the prophetic voice. Then there's a day of atonement, which is affliction of our souls, which is fasting and prayer. That now helps to crucify the flesh and all of that. Then the outpouring of the Spirit without measure. And Joel speaks of this. He says, be glad then. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. You children of Zion. This is specific for Zion. It's not for the whole church to start with. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For they had given you the former rain moderately. That's the Pentecostal anointing. Thank God for it, and it's been moderate. We do not despise the small beginning, but we don't want moderate anymore. Hallelujah! And he will cause that to come down. I didn't hear you. For you, the rain, the former Alana rain in the first month, that is not in the original Hebrew. In the original Hebrew, it is italicized. The actual thing, if you look at, let me show you. If you look at the Amplified Bible, it says, he causes to come down for you the rain and the former rain as before. In other words, I'm going to replicate what I did in Jesus. I'm going to do it in you now. Amen. That's what it really means. Hallelujah. And look at the results. And the floors shall be full of wheat. And the fat will overflow with wine and oil. Oh, wine, revelation, oil, anointing. And I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, my great army which I sent above you. And you shall eat in plenty. Turn to your neighbor and say, you eat in plenty. And be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it will come to pass after, when this first one comes, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. And also upon the servants and the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and vapor smoke. Folks, the glory is here.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 All glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Dearly beloved, the drizzles are here. It's not that it's coming. The glory is here. What we're waiting for is the deluge. Now, when it starts raining, it first comes with the drizzles. And it just starts coming. Dearly beloved, look around you. Look at Matthew 24. Look at the things that are happening. It says, when you see these things, lift up your heads on high. For your redemption is nearer now than when you first believed. For dearly beloved, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us put off what? The works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Purpose. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about purpose. And you see, when you seek him, and you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him. And I love the Lord. He says, when you seek me first and my righteousness, you become an embodiment of that righteousness all, not some. The things that you don't even know you need. The ones that you have not asked for. The ones that your hand cannot even touch or reach. The Bible says all other things shall be added unto you. Can you sing me that song? We want to see your glory.
We want to see your glory. We want to know your grace.
We want to know your grace.
We want to feel your presence.
We want to
see your face.
We want to see your face.
We humbly bow before you. We listen for your voice. Oh Lord, we welcome you into. Lord, we welcome you. We welcome you, glory. Lord, we welcome you
into our lives.
Into to see your glory.
We want to see your glory.
We want to know your grace.
We want to feel your presence.
We want to see your face. Humbly bow before you. We listen for your voice. Oh Lord, Lord, we welcome you into our hearts. We welcome into our hearts. Into
one hand on your heart and raise your other hand to God. God is looking for a people that are thirsty, a people that are hungry. Those, he says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not people who are satisfied because I have a nice car, I have a nice house, I have wife, I have children, and I'm blessed. No. No. The world is dying. They're dying. And this treasure is locked up inside you. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be seen to be of God and not of us. Don't be satisfied. It's a crime. Every day I'm crying in my heart. I say, God, look at the nations. Look at Russia. Look at Ukraine. People are dying every day.
Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat ye. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money that hath for that which hath is not, that doesn't satisfy, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ears and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David.
Raise that hand. Thank you, Pastor Wally. It's a simple prayer today. A very simple prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I'm thirsty. I am not satisfied. I thank you for all you've given me. I thank you for saving me. Thank you for filling me with your spirit. I thank you for speaking in tongues. I thank you for healings I've experienced. I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for provision. But I am not satisfied. I'm hungry. I am hungry. I am thirsty. Lord, I want the Spirit without measure. Manifest in my mortal flesh for virtue to go out of me, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, even without talking, even without touching them, like you did before in the ministry of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Neka shokoto fredega. La prikito fredes. La priketolomo shakara. Lord Jesus, a priketolomo to frede. Lord Holy Ghost, a priketo fredi. Rananga. Thank you for your blood. La priketoshka fredenge. Thank you for your life. Ranana ramasofre. Your power. Neya. Your kene. Sa fredi. Lombrega. Lombrigitoloshe. Lambrigiko fre. Into our wills, la brigito frenes. Into our minds, la braala shei. Into our emotions, rikitu frenin grdolosk. Into our physical bodies, la bragatusk frenia. Into our circumstances, ringa da bragadala. Into our regional heavenlies, renin de gedoshka frene. Insufficient measure, radanga dala matufrene. Le predesca, rima in this regard concerning this spirit without measure, rambrel, rene, rambakatoske, fre, loprinis, in Jesus' name.
In adding this to the pastor's prayer, said Father, and say, Amen, amen, and add that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Lord, we also ask for the Spirit without measure for the healings of the nations in the name of Jesus, so that your kingdom truly will come and your will be done on earth even as it's done in heaven, like Papa Sibu, Mama Anna of old, they have all prayed for the consolation of Israel, that we indeed will see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth even as it's done in heaven, to the praise of God's glory, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Father, restore the waste places. Heal the broken cities. Restore the wasted places of Nigeria. Our commonwealth that has been squandered. Oh God. Oh God. Restore. 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 Build the old waste places. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God will make you head and not tail. God will make you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to will be successful. You'll be at least 10 times better than your peers. You will possess the gates of your enemies, even the gates of death. You will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, of Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to neighbor and say, continue to thirst for the Spirit without measure. Have no bones broken by the life manifest in your mortal flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.